It's good to have all of you tonight. I met a lot of new faces tonight, so for me personally, welcome. It's great to have you this evening. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then I have a very special series I'm going to be starting this evening, and I'll explain a little bit about it to you in just a moment. Father, we just thank you tonight for the extraordinary love of Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Lord, that by the power of God, you would open our hearts to understand the depth of the reality of your love. The Bible tells us in Ephesians when Paul writes, I pray that your roots would go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and that you might know how high, how wide, how deep, and how long that love really is, and so experience it for yourself. And so then to be filled up with the fullness of God. Lord, we ask you tonight that you would help us to understand the love of Christ. We pray that you'd especially speak to us men this evening. I pray, Lord, that you'd pull away from our eyes maybe the scales, maybe from our heart a little bit of the dullness and the callousness that may be on our heart. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us fresh eyes and fresh vision of what it really means to love a woman, what it really means to love our wife. I pray, Lord, that you just reveal to us areas in our life tonight that you want to change, things in our life that you want to grow in us, and help us, Lord, really, truly, to come to a new understanding of what it means, because we have been indoctrinated with lies. Not an exaggeration at all. We have been completely bombarded and indoctrinated with the lies of this world and what it means to really love. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I have been, I was out praying this morning. And I was reflecting on my wife, on the love of my life, really. It was funny, the other day a little boy was across the street selling water. You know, he used to sell lemonade and Kool-Aid. And little kids have gotten smart. All you do with water is turn the faucet on and put it in a cup and sell it. Of course, they don't know any different, right? Because that's what the fancy grocery stores do. If they sell water, then they can sell it too. So this little guy, he has kind of a little buzz cut or whatever you want to call mine. And he's sitting behind his little table. And I pulled up and, of course, I thought, you know, the good, kind, fatherly, Christian, grandfatherly thing to do is go buy a cup of water. So he was wanting a quarter for a cup. And I said, well, you know, I'm feeling especially generous today. Here's 50 cents. And he looked at me and he thanked me. He said, hey, mister, do you know who that real pretty lady is who backed out of your garage in the white van? And I said, well, that's my girlfriend. And my wife. For 34 years. And his eyes got really big. He goes, man, she's really nice. She gave us a dollar. There she goes, beating me again. I cannot keep up with this woman. You know what I'm saying? I thought I was doing good. I doubled the price. She quadrupled the price. You know, that's Kathy. But he was right. She's a really nice woman. She's a lot more than that. And I'm an extremely, extremely lucky man. And so I was walking today and I was praying about this. And I said, you know, Lord, I've been following you for 38 years, and 36 of those years, this incredible woman has been in my life. And 34 of those years, married. She knows me better than anyone else. She knows all my flaws, all my secrets, all my downfalls, all my shortcomings. She knows them all. She's loved me through thick and thin. All the ups, all the downs, all the joys, all the sorrows, all the pain, all the challenges we face together. And I got to tell you, you know, I'm not saying we're on the downhill side. By downhill, I mean we're just on the really, it's just all downhill from here. I can't really say that because I'm a human being and we're flesh. But man, I'm just telling you, it is so good. It can be so good when you follow Christ and you learn some of the things I want to share with you tonight. It's just such a joy for me to be married to this woman. And I reflect back on my Christian life, and I'll be really honest with you. The majority of my Christian life has been a continual lesson in learning to love. Just a constant lesson in greater and greater ways to learn to love my wife, my children, and the people around me. It does not come natural. But it does come natural to the Spirit of God who's been given to us and to the new person that we are in Jesus Christ. And God wants to teach us to love. Now I began to think about a number of the situations I've been involved with lately and actually been involved with many years. And you know, I thought, Lord, I've never really done a message specifically entitled in a series, How Should a Man Really Love His Wife? How should he really love her? Most of us here tonight have not grown up with a role model or a clear example of what it really means and looks like for a man to love a woman. Now, you may think you do, but just bear with me this evening and I'll explain this. Instead, we've grown up in a world full of distorted and highly sexualized images of men supposedly loving women. We've been bombarded and indoctrinated through television, music, and peer relationships that have imprinted all the wrong messages about men loving women. Most of us did not see or experience a truly loving and godly marriage in which our fathers joyfully and sacrificially laid their lives down for their wife, kept their promises, cherished and nourished our mom, and fell more in love with her as the years went by. Most became cold, lukewarm, indifferent, apathetic, many divorced, some strayed, and most are empty shells of an unloving relationship. And that's a fact. I'm not exaggerating. It would be the rare exception. There are exceptions. But that's the reality that we grew up in. And if I could, this is the only time sometimes I wish I could be assisted by media, but it'd have to be connected to my brain. I just wish I could, you know, show you 5,000 images from MTV and VH1 right now. I wish I could just bring all the lyrics to the songs that I have in my head that you hear, you know, and you and I when the commercials are running. Of all these guys talking about, you know, when a man loves a woman and what does it mean to really, really love a woman? And nobody knows. John Mayer's the last guy who ought to be singing about loving a woman. He is a complete moron. And he makes millions of dollars singing about false love. Nobody calls him on it. Nobody says it's a distorted message. And he's an utter contemptible fool in the way that he's treated one woman after another. And yet as men, we really, truly, ladies, bear with me tonight when I share some of this, we just didn't have a clue. You've got to understand that in its own way, the world in which we live in and all the images that we've seen by the millions, by the time you're 18, 19, and 20, have so distorted and corrupted our image and our view of what it means to really love. And then most men, the main man in their life, did not exemplify what I'm going to share with you tonight. In fact, exemplified in many ways the opposite. And so, young men get all these feelings inside of them, and they get these hormones going in them, and they interpret that that's love. And the girl's pretty excited, and she gets chemistry going, and she thinks she's being loved because he's all of a sudden really affectionate and says really suave things. And then they get married, or they live together, and the wheels start coming off. Because you find you cannot survive on fake love. You cannot survive on the lie that is purported today to be love. You can't. Doesn't work. It's, in fact, it's not only not love, it's highly destructive. It's incredible selfishness. John Mayer is an extraordinarily selfish man. And he is just an example of the hundreds of names that I could give you right now. I could just start rattling them off of all these guys that sing these songs and write these songs. You know how many guys have said in interviews, the reason they got into rock and roll was for women, you know, to get in their pants. That's very blunt. That's what they said. That's why I became a musician. That was the whole point. These guys don't know anything about love. So where do we go to find out about love? And who becomes our role model? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I want to start out by sharing this with you, and I want you to listen really carefully to this, because I'm sure you've heard this, but you haven't heard the second part. We are all works in progress, right? All of us. I'm a work in progress. In a few days, be 57 years of a work in progress. 38 years of that following the Lord. He's been working on my life. He's still got more to do, because I'm not like his son yet in every way in my life. But the question for you is, are you working at your progress? You are God's work in progress, but are you working at your progress? And are you really striving to grow and change, or are you just coasting and staying the same? I'd like to show you a verse. I'm not going to spend much time on it, but in case you think, but Mark, where does he get this? He just makes it up. Listen to this. This verse is on my mind almost every day. It's from 1 Timothy chapter 4. Do not neglect your spiritual gift you received. The spiritual gift, the Holy Spirit, the new man, your other gifts. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so everyone will see your progress. Wow, that's a little intense. Throw yourself with reckless abandon into becoming a great lover, men. Throw yourself into the task. This gift God gave you, the gift of marriage, the gift of that spouse, what are you doing with it? What are you doing? Keep a close watch. Keep a close watch on you. And what you teach and believe, stay true to what is right, and God will save you and those who hear you, and God will save you in your marriage. But if you don't, you're on thin ice, man. You're on thin ice. So this is where I get this stuff. All my ideas come from the Bible. That doesn't mean all my opinions in gray areas are doctrine. But all the ideas that the Lord gives me over the years are based on things I've read. Some are direct commands, and there's no wiggle room. Others are how I strive to apply that principle or that command. And you might take that same command or principle, but particularly principles, and apply it slightly different. We're a work in progress, but are you working at your progress? For the next several weeks, tonight, the next several weeks, what I want to do is look at what God says a man's love for his wife is to look like and be like. And we will see just what it means in real life and how wonderful that can really be. You know, many of you have heard some of pieces of my story, and throughout this series, you're probably going to hear more. And some of you are going to go, well, I already heard that, and some of you are going to go, well, I never knew that. I was not born a patient man. I was not born a loving man. I was not born a tender nor a gentle man. That is not my nature. I was not born a compassionate man. That is not my nature. Today, my wife came up to me, and just about every day, we have this massage tool Kathy uses on my back. And so sometimes I'm laying in the bed, and she massages my back, and we chat. And before she started today, actually, I'm sorry, I think this was in our prayer time this morning together. She said, she got emotional, and she looked at me. She said, "You know, Mark, I just can't even tell you how much it means to me, how much you care about me." It made me emotional, too, because, you know, I don't know that Kathy would have said that 29 years ago. I was a tough nut to crack. I had, I guess, what could only be described in the early years of our marriage as a violent temper. It was not my anger. I want to be clear about this. You don't misunderstand. It was not, I smacked Kathy around. I'd smack walls. And really awful things would come out of my mouth. And I was extremely ashamed of it all. And I'm a fortunate man that my wife did not leave me. But always in my heart, and Kathy knows this, there was this inner passion to change and to grow. I hated what I was, and I longed to become what God wanted me to become. And I told the Lord, whatever price I had to pay, I would pay it. And whatever He had to do to me to grow me, to do it. And I meant it. And He's done some really difficult things. And I'm so grateful to God that He does not give up on us. I'm so grateful to God that He takes His word and He refines us and He builds us and He helps us grow and He helps us see new things. And one of the greatest things that happened in those early years of my marriage, and I won't get into it all tonight, but I'll touch on it, was when I finally came to understand the love of God for me. Because you see, those early years and the things that came out of me, that didn't even come out of me as a non-Christian. And so I was having an extremely difficult time believing that God could love such a piece of filth as I was proving to be. It's very, very difficult. I cannot even tell you the hours and the buckets of tears that I cried and prayed in a valley on some railroad tracks, begging God to change my life, but not really knowing how to change. And so ashamed of who and what I was like when no one was around and things rubbed me the wrong way. I hated it. And as it would happen, God used that in my life to break open for me a view that has never changed. It's only grown deeper of how much God loved me in my helplessness, in my unworthiness, and what the love and the forgiveness of God really meant. And as I began to wallow in the gospel, right before my very eyes and before Kathy's, my life began to change. Now I'd like to read to you tonight what will be our text, and we'll go back to it over the weeks to come. But it's found in Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to start with verse 33. I'm sorry, verse 25. And all we're going to talk about is the husbands. All I want to do is talk to you men for a while in this series, because it all starts with us, and you're going to understand this. And you husbands must love your wife with the same love Christ showed the church. Notice for just a moment, if all we did was talk about that phrase, we could just go on all night. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and gave Himself as an offering and a sacrifice for us. We are to love our wives like Christ loved the church. But we also see why I was having such a difficult time in my early years of marriage. It was not only that I didn't understand this command fully. It was that I didn't understand what preceded the command, and that is, I'm supposed to imitate the love that God has for me, and I don't even get it. You got to get it first. You have to be committed to getting it, to understand the gospel and what it means in your life now. I got an email the other day, out of the blue, from a person that I've met, I believe, twice. And it was a woman who used to be on a church staff in another state. She's now married and moved on. And she said, Mark, I was in a service. I don't know the church in a big city in this state. And she said, I was in a service and we were singing a song. Actually, the first person I ever heard or saw do He Loves Us is Kim Walker. And I wept the whole time. And part of it was because Jesse was in the hospital and she began to sing that song. Jesse did over and over and over. And every time I'd be sitting in the room, I'd just be sobbing. He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. And this young woman wrote to me. She said, Mark, I've never, ever forgotten, as we were singing the song, the living testimony that you shared of how the love of God impacted your life. And I just wanted you to know, though you've not, that that story impacted me. And I was reminded again of it as we were doing the song over and over and over. See, I began to understand that God loved me just the way I was. That God accepted me. That God was not ashamed of me. That God had forgiven me and I could forgive myself. That I didn't have to somehow first prove myself to God. That when I got really, really good and I could finally control my mouth and I finally didn't explode, that then God would love me and be proud of me. That's what I really believed. So I'd try and I'd try and I just fail and I just fail and I just fail. So I took some messages. This is how desperate I was. I mean, desperate. I know desperate. Man, I've been desperate in my life. I'm still desperate. Whether you grasp that or not. And I got some messages on the love of God. And I didn't have any money. I traded a drill I'd gotten for Christmas. And I traded in the drill and I got the money. And I bought this little cassette. They call them Walkmans then. Now you call them little iPods or your phone. And I listened to them every 14 hours a week for a year till I got it. I did not stop till I got it. I did not stop till others could see what happened to you. As 1 John says, for we have come to know and believe, experientially know the love that God has for us. A lot of people can tell you the formulaic passion of the Christ. I don't care about that. Do you know it? Have you experienced it for yourself? And so you see, husbands, we're to love our wives like Christ loved us and gave up His life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by God's word. He did this to present her to Himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. Notice that. That's how God sees us. When He washed us with the blood of Christ, and now we're before Him, we're without spot, without blemish. Glorious to God. Now, do you see your wife that way? Does she feel that you see her that way? Instead, she is holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own body. For a man is actually loving himself when he loves his wife. No one hates his own body, but lovingly cares for it as Christ cared for His body, which is the church. We are His body. As the scripture says, a man will leave his father and mother and join to his wife, and the two are united in one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ loves His church. Again, I say, each man must love his wife. Now, I want to read this to you in two versions that I found to be very, very thought-provoking and very compelling and very illuminating. The first is from a version called The Voice. Husbands, you must love your wives so deeply, purely, and sacrificially that we can understand it only when we compare it to the love of Jesus Christ and the way he loves his bride, the church. We know he gave himself up completely to make her his own, washing her clean of all her impurity with his word and the powerful presence of his word. He has given himself so that he can present the church as his radiant bride, unstained, unwrinkled, and unblemished, completely free of all impurity, holy and innocent before him. All those things are what we are because of Christ, not what we will be, but what we are now. We're not unholy in the eyes of God. We have no blemish in the eyes of God. We stand blameless and without fault before him. And that's the power of the gospel. As you love her, husbands, care for your wife as if your life depended on it. The same way they care for their own body. As you love her, you ultimately are loving part of yourself. Remember, you are one flesh. No one really hates his own body. He takes care to feed and love it, just as Jesus Christ, the Anointed, takes care of his church, because we are living members of his body. And this is the reason a man leaves his father and his mother and is united with his wife. The two become together as one flesh. This is a great mystery reflected in the scripture. And I say that it has to do with the marriage of Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each husband is to love and protect his own wife as if she were his very heart. Wow. That's just so incredible, this description. Now, this is the message. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives. Exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving and not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. Everything. Dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness, and that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it fully. What is clear to me is the way Christ treats the church. And this provides the best picture of how each husband is to treat his wife by loving her. I want you to notice some of the words that we see here. I love words. I didn't know when I was growing up that I would love them so, but I love them. Love deeply. Love sacrificially. Gave himself up completely. Care for her as if your life depended on it. Nourish her. Cherish her. Protect her. Go all out in your love for her. These are some of the pictures of how we are to love and care for our wife. The way Christ cares for us. And he lays his life down for us. Every day, all the time. He didn't do it just once. He's still doing it today. He's protecting me today. He nourished me today. He cherishes you today. The word cherish means this: to hold precious, dear, to feel or show affection for. To keep or cultivate with care and affection, to nurture, to entertain or harbor in the mind deeply and resolutely, and cherish the memory. Now, you know, it's really interesting, isn't it? When you get around conversations at work, I've been around them, I know you have. I used to work in this dealership, this Cadillac dealership. Excuse me. And it was really interesting to listen how men talk about their wives. The old lady, the B word. They would grumble and complain. And I have to admit, though I didn't participate. And sometimes I thought to myself, boy, I'm really good that I don't participate. I would find that in the privacy of my own mind, in the privacy of my own heart, that there were times I fed on the same crap. That I let these things flow in my mind. And that rather than deeply and resolutely cherishing Kathy in my mind, I would just let my thoughts go. See, you know, most of us in this room, all of us in this room, we will let our mind do things that we would never do in person. Did you know that? It says a lot about the blackness of our heart, doesn't it? This is why, you see, we've all sinned in the eyes of God. He's going to judge for what's in your heart, not just what you've done. And when you start looking inside of our heart, and when you start thinking about the things we've thought, and at times we wished we could do, and at times we wished we could say, and the things we thought about, and those we're supposedly supposed to love, wow, it's ugly in there. Praise God for the gospel. Mark Darling needs the gospel every day. You need the gospel every day. And praise God, we have it every day. The gospel. The wonderful forgiveness of God. The power of God working in our lives, the acceptance of God working in our lives. So I began to realize, you know what, Lord? You know what? I need to change on the outside and on the inside. I need to throw myself in a passionate and committed way in the way I think about Kathy. I need to destroy those thoughts. And the way to destroy them is feed on great ones. And so I just began to develop, and I know you don't believe me, but that's okay. I pray very much like you hear me speak. I personally think any other prayer is kind of dead, boring, and lifeless, and I think it's time to get a little bit invigorated and a little bit fervent. And could I gently remind all of us that the Bible does not say that the prayer of a righteous man has great power. It says the fervent prayer of a righteous man has great power. Let's get a little fire in our prayers. A little fervency in our lives. There's no woman here who wants some dull love. I'm not saying you got to be Mr. Personality Plus. I'm saying you got to fan your fire into flame. Because God has never let His die down for you. And He loves you and rejoices over you with shouts of joy. And you and I are to imitate Him. He's our role model. I don't care what kind of father you did or did not have. I left that a long time ago. There's nothing I can do about that. God brought me there for a reason, and some of that reason was to teach me what not to be, and I thank Him for that. I got no problem with that. I've got God now. For all these years I've had, God is my daddy, God is my father, and all I had to do was open the book, meditate on the gospel, listen to the Holy Spirit, ponder the words, let Him work in my life, acknowledge that I need Him, and wow, did He begin to re-parent Mark. Same thing can happen for you. But do you see your need, men? Do you see the need? You need this. Or your marriage, it's just going to, you know, it's like, I'll use the analogy, y'all have got one. It's like your cell phone. You know, bless my wife, I love her to pieces. I'm not very technologically savvy, and she's not at all. She regularly forgets to plug it in, and you know, you go to use it, and like, honey, battery, but see, just plug in at night, just put it right here in the hole. Just you're sleeping, it charges. So when I get up 3 a.m, and I'm praying for you guys, and I'm praying for her, I sneak in, grab it out of her purse, and I plug it in. There. See? I protect her. I nourish her. I take care of her. And therefore, don't worry about it, Kathy. I got your back. So when I'm out with God, and I'm thanking God for Kathy, I thank Him for her every day. I don't just say, oh, Lord, thank you for Kathy. Yeah, thanks. I'm like, Lord, I tell you what, I just want to thank you for this woman. Lord, I'm so lucky that she stuck with me. I just thank you for her sweet, gentle, beautiful spirit. I just thank you, Lord. Now, don't take this personal, ladies. Each woman has a different personality. So this may rub you the wrong way. I know it's going to, I don't mean it to. I say, Lord, I just thank you you didn't give me a loud mouth woman. Lord, I mean it. I just thank you that she's not the text queen, that she's not gabbing all the time, that she knows how to keep a secret and she knows how to keep her mouth shut. I am so thankful, Lord, for this woman. I'm so thankful for her love. I'm so thankful for her loyalty. I'm so thankful for her kindness. I'm so thankful, Lord, she stuck with me. I'm so thankful that she's my best friend. She's been my companion and my lover. I have been so enriched having her in my life, and I don't deserve her. And usually by then, I'm crying almost every day. Because I'm genuinely so grateful. And I do not know what I would do if God took her from me. I'm so grateful for her. I'm crazy about her. I just love her. I love to be around her. She's been the best thing besides the Lord that ever happened to me. And she keeps my feet on the ground, and she speaks wonderful things into my heart, and she's always writing these little notes and these little verses, and she believed in me when other people didn't. And sometimes I don't know how, because I look back at the man I was, and I'm like, wow, Kathy, your faith, you know, and she has the gift of faith. She had to have, to keep believing in that guy, that ugly, stupid guy, that God would use him. She always listened to my songs, whether she liked them or not. Well, I'm telling you. And I said, I just thank the Lord. I'm just, Lord, I'm so thankful we got to raise babies together, man. Watching my wife be a mother was like watching Michael Jordan play basketball. That's what it was for me. The gift he had for basketball, she had in mothering. I mean, even today, I'll see her get around children, and I'm just like, wow. Wow. I don't give my spirit rest. I don't let my flesh creep up on me, man. It's so ugly. So I go after it. And the next thing you know, I got to tell you, you practice the things I'm showing you tonight, just these few simple things. We're not getting into everything tonight. You practice this kind of gratitude, and next thing you know, you're going to walk around feeling like the luckiest guy in the world. Because you're going to start to believe what you're praying. And it's going to sensitize you to that beautiful woman God gave you in ways that you have been dull and listless before. Do you know how many times the Son of God, Jesus, God in the flesh, said to the disciples, how long must I be with you, oh, dull of heart? Boy, we can be like that, can't we? We bear around this woman that God gave us. And you remember your heart, man. I know it was. Listen, guys, listen to me. You would not be married today if at one time in your life your heart wasn't on fire. Where's the fire now? Where is it now? And you'll be amazed at what these logs of prayer, these logs of gratitude and reflection upon all that she is, and imitating Christ in your relationship with her, as you nourish her, as you lay your life down for her. We're going to get into all kinds of practicals. What it does is like supercharges your marriage, man. It's like it will take your little Nokia flip phone and turn it into a 5S. You know what? It will transform your marriage. It will transform her responsiveness to you, her respect for you, your relationship, your friendship, your bedroom. Everything changes when you consistently, faithfully, without regard for her response, when you love her because Christ loved you, when you love her with no strings attached, You'll be shocked. You'll be blown away as you show the patience of God what this woman becomes. Listen, what happens to a man or woman who begins to learn about the love of God? See, we're the bride. So, men, here's what's interesting. We're both to be like God, but we're also a bride. And when you, as that bride of Christ, that Christian, you begin to experience the love of God, wow, do you start passionately loving God back. And all of a sudden, you're like, Lord, touch anything in my life. Lord, I surrender everything. Lord, I just give it to you all right now. You love me so much. That's what God's love causes to well out of you. That's what your love for her will bring about in your relationship. Same thing. You are God in the relationship. You are to be Christ in the relationship. And man, that carries a whole lot of implications. Tremendous and profound implications. I'd like to give you a few things to think about for a moment. Today, as I was out again, praying again, I just went out a second time today, praying for our time and asking God to break through. I'd like you to think about some of these things the Lord gave me. The first is, men, study Christ. Get to know Christ and His love. Our marriages, listen really carefully to this, our marriages should be the living retelling of the greatest love story ever told. The love of Christ for us. This is how our love for our wives should look like. You understand? One of the greatest gospel testimonies in the world is the passionate commitment love that you have for your wife. It's profound. And it should be that living retelling, because people just see, they just see literally a picture, a living demonstration in the way that you carry yourself, the way you speak to her, the way you interact with her. You know, I had something interesting happen. I didn't actually anticipate this in my life at all. But I ran into someone not too long ago who has some loved ones that come here. And I don't know why this person told me this. I mean, it was just really unusual. We'd even run into each other. I've only met them one other time. She said to me, Mark, I just have to tell you something. She said, you know, my granddaughters, they've come home. And they have commented more than once on how much you love your wife. And it's imprinted them deeply. I had another young man from another country who wrote me recently, said, Mark, I just did not grow up with what you relate about how you love Christ, how well you speak of your wife. I met someone out in the hall tonight. When I introduced my wife, she grabbed her hand and said, wow, he just speaks so highly of you. I'm not exaggerating. This woman is such a blessing to me. And I love her. I cherish her. I still have all the letters she wrote me. 38 years ago, 36 years ago. I cherish her. Husbands, number two. A husband's love for his wife is to be the very expression of the Christian message, the gospel, that Christ left everything he had and he gave it up, all of it, his very life, to love us, to save us, and win our hearts and put us first. And I know guys who have trouble getting out of bed to empty the trash before they go to work out of deference to their wife. The little things. It's the little things that are so big. Will you lay your wife down for your wife? What message, I want to ask you to think about this, what message has your life been sending? Over the last 6 months, over the last year, what message, husbands, has your life? What expression? Christ embraced us in all of our unworthiness, our ugliness, our sin, our rebellion, and our helplessness. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loves us and gave Himself up for us and still gives Himself for us. Your wife is going to love you because you first loved her and always love her. You see that? I know so many guys that go, hey, I'll tell you what, Mark, that's fine. That's fine. If my wife start respecting me, I'd show her some of that kind of love. That ain't the deal. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not, all right, you clean up your miserable, pathetic life, and maybe I'll listen to some of your prayers. Maybe I'll let you come to me. But you've already done so much damage and destruction to other people. I don't know if I want you in my family. That isn't the gospel. Do you understand what would happen if we began to practice the grace of God on our wife? She does not have to earn a thing. She should not have to earn a thing. Freely, men, you were given. And freely you should give. Because we're to be like Christ. We're to be like Christ. Last, I want you to think about this very carefully. I thought about this. I'll read it to you and then I'm going to share a story, then I'm going to close. If my kids, your kids, so you put your kids in there. If my kids don't want my marriage / my love story, the love story they see me living each and every day in my home, then they probably will not want my faith. Why? Because my marriage, my love for Kathy, and how I live that out is the genuine expression of my faith and my understanding of Christ. Do you get that? Do you see? Do you see why we're losing a generation of young men and women who are abandoning the church and Jesus Christ? You know why? Because of the pathetic hypocrisy at home. Almost all the time. Not every time, certainly the majority of the time. Many years ago, I was doing a very large conference in the state of Ohio. It was downtown, this big theater. And my two oldest were early teens at the time. 14, 15, 15, 16, right in there. And I didn't know they were going to have a big breakout for the teenagers. Which is fine. I don't need to know everything. You know, it was a big conference. I wasn't putting it on. I was just trying to help out. And so there was about, I think, 200 young people in that age range. So they all left the main room and they had their own thing going on. And I didn't even know all that was going on. Afterwards, when the main session was done and we were in lunch lines and people were in the hall, this lady comes up to me, probably 30. She was a youth worker and she said, you're Mark Darling, right? I said, yeah, can I talk to you a minute? I said, well, sure. She said, I just have to tell you something. It was profound for me, and I just wanted to pass it on to you. I said, okay. She said, well, I was in this room with all these Christian teenagers. And she said, we got into dating, we got into love and marriage and all that kind of stuff. And I just happened to ask the question. She said, I do this from time to time, and I'd never heard anybody do this before. And I just asked the question, how many of you young people in this room would want your parents' marriage? And she said, well, Mark, to be honest, there were two hands that went up in the room. I said, oh, wow. Okay. She said they were your kids. I just thought you'd want to know that. And I went in a corner and cried. I don't deserve that. But I tell you this, I took it so damn serious. And I still do today because I have grandchildren and they're watching me. They can tell whether grandpa loves grandma, really loves her. Your life is sending a message every single day, men. Every day. In the way you treat her, in the way you speak with her. And I realize we're all flesh. I got the flesh so bad. I have to fight it every day. Now, the more I've disciplined my body, and I have beat it, figuratively speaking, but in very serious ways, over and over and over. It's become more and more my great joy to actually think of ways to excel. How can I excel, Lord, in loving this woman? How can I express this to her? I told you this before, jestingly, but I know it's more than two times a day, but we'll just average two times a day for the last, 34 years I've told Kathy I love her. It's like 25,000 times. And every single day I strive to live it out. And my money, I use my money to reflect that love for her. The possessions that I have to reflect that love. All the energy that I have, I use it to serve other people. To serve God and other people. And particularly my wife. What are her needs? How, Lord, can I meet her needs? You meet my needs, how can I meet her needs? Men, let me tell you something. When Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, it's really true. It's really true. Today I was out running some errands and I brought her back something. I thought, I want to buy this for her. A couple items of clothing. I thought, she looks so good in this. And I just, I like to surprise Kathy. I love Kathy. Little things, they mean so much. I could go on tonight, but we've got to end. But I just really want you to ask yourself, what message is your love for your wife sending? And are your kids going to want your love story? And when your little girls, if you have them, or your little boys, when they're 13, 14, they start noticing the opposite sex, are they going to think to themselves, man, I want to fall in love like dad is with mom? Please come back next week because we're going to get into a lot of things, okay? We're getting into a lot of things that I promise you, if you do them, will change the game for you. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, in this journey of marriage, it will change the game. Father, I just thank you tonight for the power of the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the patient love of Jesus Christ. And you know what, Lord? I really thank you for marriage. I really thank you for the gift you gave to Adam and that you gave to me in my wife. And I really thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have taken me behind the woodshed time and time again. You've dealt with my heart and you've dealt with my will and you've dealt with my mind and you've dealt with my thoughts. You've dealt with my habits and you never gave up on me. And you're still working with me today. But I love this girl, Lord. I love her. I love her. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not afraid to say it. She's just been so wonderful in my life. And it's been so beautiful, Lord, to learn to love, to learn to become more loving, to learn to put the interest of another before my own, to learn to keep no record of wrongs, to learn not to demand my own way, to learn that love suffers long and is kind. To learn, yes, that even when I'm sinned against, to pretend like it never even happened and move on with the grace of God and love her anyway. Because that's how you are with me. You keep making me like you, Lord. Keep making me like you and work in the lives of these men in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.